Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
The celebration continues, Wildness at Wilderness at 40. It's proving to be one of the most star and celebrity events of the year, and we cover it all here on the Wildside News. When we return, you will get your official invitation to join this grand event with a special wilderness update that is hot off the press. So let's take a short break, and when we get ready, we'll come back for a great adventure here on the Wildside News.
Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
We are back, and we have the celebration continues here, Wilderness at 40. And we have a major announcement that Doug Scott, who is, I consider him a wilderness champion, is going to talk about. And I'm going to start out with Doug, and then we're going to go to Bob Egerter, who also is very much involved in wilderness and will be involved in the 2004 Northwest Wilderness Conference that's happening up in Seattle. And he's going to talk in particular about wilderness and its importance in preserving genetic diversity, which is becoming a really major concept in terms of managing and preserving the living systems. So let's start with Doug, and Bob, just hold on a moment here. Doug, you have a rather interesting announcement to make concerning wilderness at 40. Why don't you tell our listeners what's up?
Thank you, Sydney. We are with many of the federal all of the federal agencies that have wilderness to administer, and with many, many of the nonprofit wilderness groups. Yesterday, that was added to by the announcement of the existence of a special committee to help call public attention to the 40th anniversary of the Wilderness Act, and why the accomplishments of saving so much wilderness is important to all Americans. This is a group called Americans for Wilderness. It's honorary members at the top of the list. It's 119 members. The honorary members at the top of the list are Presidents Jimmy Carter and Gerald Ford, emphasizing that this is a nonpartisan celebration of a bipartisan achievement of the fact that we have designated so much wilderness. The co-chairs of this committee are Robert Redford, the author Barbara Kingsolver, and the actor Christopher Reeve. And the committee includes writers like Bill Bryson and Kurt Vonnegut, scientists like E.O. Wilson, includes Theodore Roosevelt IV, carrying on his family tradition, the architect designer of the Vietnam Memorial, Maya Lin, David Sibley, the great ornithologist, entertainers like Morgan Freeman and Emmy Lou Harris, and a host of former members of Congress and former mayors and from both political parties, and including a number of people who were actively involved in the passage of the Wilderness Act 40 years ago.
Well, that's an amazing assemblage of dignitaries and amazing people who have dedicated their lives in the past and also their lives to the future to preserve this this amazing system. And by the way, I encourage again our listeners to go to the April 1st show segment and go to the second segment where there are links to Americans for Wilderness. And why don't you give that website too, Doug?
This is a website jointly sponsored by many environmental groups, state, local, national. It's www.wildernessforever.org.
Yes, I actually have that on the website as we speak, so our listeners can go there and take a look at what's happening. And Doug, we're going to come back with you, particularly in our third segment, but also towards the end of the segment. It certainly might be fun to have you and Bob share a little dialogue about wilderness, because I know both of you are giants and have been involved in this all your life. So, Doug, will you hold on and let's talk with, and thank you so much, by the way, and we'll really focus on this as we go into the third segment. Bob Agutter, here's a man who kind of came into wilderness kind of sort of innocently. He took a walk and sort of became hooked. Now, this was quite a while ago. Bob, tell me, how is it that wilderness has affected your life?
Well, very significantly, Stanley.
Sydney, actually, Sydney, but that's okay.
I was invited by Stan and Jane Meyer in Montana, people that we went to college with, my wife and I, to take a hike along the Garden Wall in Glacier National Park and to spend a night at Granite Park Chalet and then hike down to St. Mary's Lake back in the early 1960s. And we definitely got hooked on wilderness hiking. At first, for me, wilderness was a chance for solitude and inspiration, natural quiet, a place to get away, a place to exercise, a very real change from my life as an architect. But as I began to read people, read Sand County Almanac and E.O. Wilson, many of the people who are on that distinguished panel that Doug Scott mentioned, I became aware of the importance of wilderness in protecting biodiversity, in protecting the web of life, protecting the very substance on which we as human beings depend for our lives. And that's becoming an increasingly important element and an increasingly important concern to me, that we not completely destroy the very natural processes that go on in undisturbed nature. There's a wide diversity of wildlife and processes going on, and those are important to us because we don't completely understand how the world works, how ecology works. We need them as research opportunities. We also need them because they sustain life for us. And while I'm concerned about the spotted owl and the pileated woodpecker and other threatened species, I'm more concerned about us as a threatened species, that we lose that broad foundation on which we stand. As that becomes narrower and narrower, we are more at risk as a species of being toppled. I don't want that to happen to my great-great-grandchildren.
Very, very well put. Wilderness has a lot of purposes to a lot of people. It's sort of a historic remnant of the past, or some people would say it's an expression of God. It offers places to get away. It's all very personal. But you really have taken a stand very much from it is a scientific perspective in doing research on what happens as the wild places become cross-sectioned and cut up and disappearing. And that is having a dramatic impact on the potential for genetic diversity, which, diversity is what keeps everything going. As we lose our diversity, we lose the chance to survive. Talk to us about what happens to animals as their normal range starts to be chopped up.
We have many problems like that. Yellowstone, a very large national park, but many species have been forced up into Yellowstone that once ranged all over the United States. The buffalo or bison is an example. In the winter, though, Yellowstone's very high elevation. They need to go down to lower areas. Same's true of elk. At Mount Rainier, that's, again, a very large park, but it, by logging, is being cut off from its connection to the North Cascades crest, and we hope to maintain some kind of a wildlife corridor, or reestablish a wildlife corridor that would enable these various species to move back and forth and maintain their broad diversity rather than becoming cut off and perhaps dying out. The species at Mount Rainier have decreased over the years. We aren't exactly sure why, but we believe a part of it is that they don't have this interconnection in order to maintain this broad diversity. As human beings, we know we don't marry our cousins. We shouldn't ask the animals in the parks to do it either.
Yes, well, actually, a lot of people who do research in wildlife know that as the possibility for survival decreases, somehow animals almost instinctively react to that by having fewer and fewer offspring. And that definitely can affect the capacity for these animals to survive and to reproduce. And I think that probably has to do with kind of the main thrust or one of the main thrusts of your research and your work.
That's true. And when we were at Granite Park Chalet, we had the opportunity to see a grizzly bear. And a real, real defining moment to see that such a majestic animal with such power. But grizzly bears require an immense area, and there are some of those areas here in Washington, but we've never actually sighted a grizzly bear in Washington, although they were very common. Lewis and Clark encountered the grizzly bear right in what is presently the city limits of Great Falls, Montana. Now they're limited to the national parks and more frequent in Canada. Need it large areas, and they're very, very leery of humans, of roadways and intrusions into their domain. And grizzlies have a right to exist, as well as human beings. And I think we should protect some areas for the grizzly.
Certainly, you know, this seems to be a star-studded show today, and that's exciting because we are the mainstream. That's the thing I love about nature, is that we don't have to apologize. We are right on track in terms of doing the right thing and being with an amazing group of people. Harrison Ford, for example, is getting a lot of attention these days for a wonderful project called Conservation International, which is doing precisely what your early research indicated was necessary. And so I believe that he's actually taken some of your concepts and now taken them out into the international realms. One of the challenges that he has is acquiring these corridors. Why don't you talk about corridors, and then also how in the world do you find it possible to create corridors? You have to buy land. You have to do leases. You have to do something.
Very definitely. Some of these corridors are on federal lands, and it might be possible to designate them as wilderness or designate them as areas that there will be minimal intrusion. Some of them are in private holdings, and of course we have a very strong belief in property rights in the United States, so it may be necessary to acquire them. There is an effort to acquire a corridor across the Skagit River here in the state of Washington for that lowland for a wildlife corridor. It takes a lot of planning because obviously we aren't going to preserve all of it. We also have a right to exist, and our purpose here is not only to preserve the wildlands, but to preserve the kind of environment that's healthy and desirable for human beings. So it's very much still a human-oriented activity. So it is necessary for lands to be acquired, or maybe for easements to be acquired, in which people will agree for the payment of a fund of money that they would not develop the land to the extent to which they might otherwise have the opportunity or the right to do, that they would leave a majority or some part, some necessary part of their property for the wildlife.
Well,
we see that where it has great economic advantage. In South Dakota, farmers voluntarily leave land for pheasants because they get an opportunity to be paid by hunters who come in from out of state. And we know that wilderness pays. We know that it's not a drag on our economy, that communities that have access to wilderness are the places where people want to live.
Bob, we have about 2 minutes left, and Doug, you're welcome to join in as appropriate here. Bob, I just am curious. One of the purposes of the Wild Side News is to really help people like you get your message out to the world at large, because literally on internet radio, the entire world is listening. How can people help support your work and the work that others like you are doing?
Well, if you simply put my name into a wilderness search engine, Bob Aegerter, A-E-G-E-R-T-E-R, you'll find my webpage and a number of opportunities to join in many things. And certainly we welcome you to the 2004 Wilderness Conference in Seattle. There will be an opportunity for people at all levels to exchange with colleagues and learn about how they can be involved in various wilderness campaigns. I'm involved here locally with the Mount Baker Wild campaign, which after we do a great deal of research and study, we'll probably make a proposal for some additions to the wilderness. There are a number of opportunities.
Wonderful. Well, I do want to... Hello, yeah.
This...
Yeah,
Doug.
Hi, Doug.
Doug, I might just add to what Bob said about how people can get involved, that what he described for the Mount Baker Wild effort in the northern part of Washington State is going on. Similar things are going on all across this country. There is an active wilderness campaign, extremely active, underway for areas on the Allegheny National Forest in Pennsylvania, western Pennsylvania.
Doug, you know what? There's my music, which means this segment is over. I want to thank Bob Aegerter and Doug Scott. Doug, hold on. We'll talk about that more. You're listening to the Wild Side News Show, the worldwide leader in Internet talk.